called the Senate of the Associated Students to order on Wednesday, February 1st at 5:33 p.m. in the Rita Layden Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joke High Student Union. Moving to agenda item 2, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving into agenda item 3, roll call.
Speaker Texera.
Present.
Senator Berrigan.
Present.
Senator Blair.
Present.
Senator Bond.
Present.
Senator Bradley.
Present.
Senator Chu.
Tardy excuse.
Senator Cook.
Present.
Senator Crooks.
Present.
Senator Krupe.
Present.
Senator Duvall.
Present.
Senator Eschenbaugh.
Present.
Senator Fang.
Present.
Senator Green.
Present.
Senator Henderson.
Present.
Senator H. Jackson.
Present.
Senator T. Jackson.
Present.
Senator Jacoby.
Present.
Senator Jordan.
Present.
Senator Kohler.
Present.
Senator McBalouk.
Present.
Senator Smith.
Present.
Senator Taylor.
Present.
Senator Yorkity.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Moving into agenda item 5, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Dr. Beattie?
Everyone? Just a couple of things. You know, we have some legislation on the table. I really want to compliment this Senate session because you guys have always made everything you talk about the issues and not the people that are putting the legislation forward. So I'd like to remind you of that again. It also came to my attention that there are two senators and an exec member that sit on the Student Media Advisory Board, and none of them made the meeting this week. I'd just like to say I hope that's not representative of the communities that you're engaging with across campus, because that's the reputation of all of SUN. When it's contained within the ASUN, it's still not a great thing, but it's not quite as bad as if it's different committees around campus that are counting on undergraduate student opinion, student voice. I mean, on those committees are super important. You know, I think Brandon sits on the facilities committee. They make huge decisions, and having student voice there is really important. So anytime you're missing, you're going to miss meetings. We all miss meetings. We get busy. You guys are working multiple jobs. You're in Senate. You're in clubs. But just try to communicate with the people if you are going to miss the meetings and try to get to as many meetings as possible, because every meeting you miss, there could be an important student issue that you could have weighed in. So thanks.
All right. Is there any further public comment? All right, seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 7A, reports of ASUN officers, president of associated students, Brandon Boone.
Thank you, sir. Quick report. First off, I want to say this Friday, February 3rd, the Department of Legislative Affairs is putting on a great event where you'll get to interact with a bunch of your state legislators. It's going to be in Ballroom A from 11:30 to 12, and it comes with a free lunch. And most importantly, beloved Vice President Springmeyer will be speaking at the event, so you'll get to see that. Other thing I've been working on since this last Senate meeting, was I sent out a student announcement yesterday to all undergraduate students in regards to an opportunity to advocate for undocumented students on our campus. The Bridge Act, which would extend DACA for an additional 3 years with several other protections as well. If you know anyone that's in support of undocumented students on our campus, I encourage you to tell them to use the tool that's linked in that email. A similar email went out at Rutgers University a week or two ago, and in the first day of that email going out, 6,000 students had sent a call to action to their congresspeople. So I would love to see that kind of response on our campus. I also got the hydration station bill on tonight. I'll be back to the table explaining all the details of that, but that's it for my report. I want to give Chief of Staff Latino's report if I can.
Yes, you can.
Hello, Senators. I apologize for my absence. My report is as follows. The It's On Us shirts are in, and please feel free to take one. I have been in contact with our university's It's On Us representative regarding events we could do this spring. Number two, I hope you all like my university flags as much as I do. Liv has them if you want to see them. We can pass them around the table, but I wanted to let you guys see them before we brought them over to the Reno City Council for hanging. All 15 flags will be hung downtown. Number three, I was fortunate to help out with a first-generation student retreat and mediated panel with both College of Business and Journalism community leaders recently. That is all for my report this week. I will see you all in person next week.
Do you have anyone else's report?
Chief of Staff Upton said he has no report, and as well as Director Rojas.
Awesome. All right. Moving into agenda item 7G, Director of Programming, Cassandra Riddle.
Mine will be short. Just want to say thank you all for everyone who came to Welcome Week. I would like to highly encourage and remind you all that as much as we say we encourage students to come to events because they paid for it, thanks to you guys as well, so thanks to everyone who did come to our events. And the ice skating event on Friday had like record-breaking attendance of like 400, 350 people. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving into agenda item 7I, Director of Legislative Affairs, Veronica Charles.
Hey guys, so you guys currently have a packet. It just has a little bit of data regarding a poll that we sent out over the All Student Lister. So I just wanted to go over some of those results with you guys and tell you what it means for you. Tell you guys what it means for you, and then if you guys have any questions, we can talk about that too. So the purpose of this survey that we sent out was to inform students about President Trump's 100-day plan, let them know what they could expect to see within the first 100 days of President Trump taking office. We also wanted to start conversations and give the Senate body some ideas for legislation. Again, this is all preliminary information, so we just want you guys to take it, let you guys know that we did have a lot of respondents, but nothing that was representative of the entire undergraduate student body. So that kind of brings us to our limitations. The response rate was not large enough to provide statistical significance, so I want you guys to know that going into this. It was a blind survey, so we can't tell if it was accurate representation of the entire student population, but we did make it blind to where that way nobody felt that they couldn't give their true political opinions in this survey. On question number one, the majority of respondents picked the first question, which could have had something to do with order effects. And also, based off of the results of the elections, we could assume that some students may have felt disenfranchised, and therefore they wouldn't have wanted to respond to this survey based on who was taking office. But with those limitations in mind, it was anonymous. It was sent out to the entire student leader for undergraduate students. Some of the types of questions we asked was, are there any current legislative policies that impact higher education that are important to you? That will help us focus our efforts and focus everything we're doing here for Senate. We also asked, which of President Trump's proposals do you least and most approve of? We also asked about different things like internships and partnerships within the community. So we sent it to 18,120 total undergraduate students, and we got 562 students to respond. Although I don't think that that's accurate. I think that we actually had 594 students respond, but some students decided to skip some questions. So these are just the students that we got answers from. So then, just kind of like a gist of it, looking at which presidential proposal do you most approve of? We had any common core, so that seems to be something that's important to your guys' constituents as a whole. That's 14%. Again, that's just 77 students. The next thing that was most important was repealing Obamacare and replacing it with health savings accounts. So I think that a lot of students are thinking about healthcare based off of what we got from this preliminary information. And then 13% also said that they did not approve of any of the policies that we stated for Donald Trump's 100-day plan. Presidential proposals that are least approved of. We had 27.47%, so that's 150 students say that they approved of all of them. And then we also had 15% say that they did want to go through with immigration bans. And 14% said that they wanted to cancel the payments to the UN regarding climate change. And then we just asked a few different questions. We also wanted to make sure that this survey was pertinent to things that we're going to see in the legislature this upcoming session. So we did ask you about paid internship opportunities between Reno and the campus community. Obviously, we did get a resounding yes, so that's 95% of the people that were surveyed said that they would like to see those opportunities. Are you in favor of or against a tobacco-free campus? 408 students said that they were in favor of that. And then, are you in favor of or against campus carry? This one's always controversial. We did have 51% of the students that responded to this say that they were in favor of campus carry, but again, this is not representative. Are you in favor of or against the death penalty in Nevada? We had 54% of the students who responded say that they were in favor of the death penalty. And then just different issues that we asked them to comment on regarding whether or not what was most important to them. Tuition rates was definitely mentioned the most. People said that they wanted to talk about at different events, programs, things like that, that discuss tuition rates and where their tuition is going. So the Department of Legislative Affairs has used a lot of this information as far as how we're going to guide our Wolfpack Smart Talks this semester. They talked a lot about defunding Planned Parenthood, the future of Planned Parenthood. That came up a lot. The next thing that came up a lot was loan forgiveness and the Teacher Accountability Act. Curriculum cuts, campus carry, all of these things were popular. The little tiny guy there says feeling safe with their political choices on campus. We just got that once, but that's still something important to know. The students don't feel safe, discussing their political choices on campus. We want to make sure that we as a student body are facilitating those ideas and conversations. So what does this mean? Again, guys, this is preliminary information. I want to give you guys kind of a starting point as far as where to take your guys' legislation. If you guys can poll more of your constituents, get talking with them, learn about what's important to them and how they would like to see us respond to these different initiatives. We know that students have strong opinions on issues, so we should be able to get answers one way or the other. We want you guys to use this information as far as how you guys write legislation. And then once Senate passes legislation regarding your guys' opinions and the opinions of the student body, then Legislative Affairs will advocate for that at the legislature. But that doesn't take place beforehand. So I think that there has been a little bit of confusion in that up to this point, is that everything that we advocate for in the legislature is anything that you guys are advocating for at the university level. Yeah?
But I think part of the SAS, the Committee of Legislative Affairs and the Committee of Public Affairs are supposed to work together, so doing the research and the tracking of the legislation and then presenting to the Committee on Public Affairs, according to our research, this is how, these certain issues are going to affect undergraduate students, and maybe we should take a look at this, and like having a closer partnership between those, that department and that committee, I think is important too.
Absolutely. So members of my department and myself currently go to those meetings. We talk about analyze how to track different pieces of legislation. However, again, it's just, if we're going to advocate for something going into the legislature, it's because the student body has already made an opinion and already discussed their stance on that subject. Any other questions?
Senator Kirby. No, Mayor Dr. Kirby.
I'm sorry, I think what Director Charles was trying to say is that, her office works with the Committee on Public Affairs. Generally, the Department of Legislative Affairs is going to go down to the Nevada State Legislature and speak on something. It's not what her office likes. If her office loves guns on campus, they're not going to go down and speak about that, right?
Yeah.
They're going to work with Committee on Public Affairs, and then Senate's going to write an opinion, hopefully, on what the student body is, right? Because you are elected to speak for the students. Their department and her position was appointed by the president to actually make that come into play, right? So Senate's the voice of the students, and the Department of Legislative Affairs carries that voice out.
Are there any more questions for Director Charles? All right, thank you so much. Good luck. Moving into agenda item 7L, Director of Clubs and Organizations, Richard Long.
Good evening, Senators. So, pretty quick report, but I did want to recap the club fair for you guys. So we did take a little bit of a different approach on it this year for the spring club fair. We saw 151 tables, which is a little bit bigger than last year for the setup without using the great room. And 402, I believe, is what's up there next to the great room. This also helped us to reduce the cost of it and helped us keep the flow of students so it wasn't jamming up the walkways, thus kind of resolving the fire hazard of having clubs up in the ballrooms. So it worked out well from my point of view. We saw, while we had 151 clubs sign up initially, and several others ask for tables after the fact of the sign-ups being closed. We saw 145 come out and join us, so pretty good numbers there. And the Joe estimate was 815 students, so that's, again, a pretty decent number of interested students to come out and get involved in clubs and organizations. So if you guys have any information that you've heard, comments about the fair, please send those my way. I want to hear anything that the students have to say about it. I am creating kind of a legacy folder for the next director on every event that I'm doing, so I'll make sure to add those into that folder so that we can make the club fair better next year. Moving into this week, we have funding, as I'm sure most of you guys know. That'll be from, we have a meeting from 4 to 5 p.m. right before the funding hearing. That's going to be for remittances. And then from 5 p.m. until roughly 10 is going to be the funding hearing on Friday. And then 8 a.m. until about 5 or 6, I believe, on Saturday is going to be the funding hearing. We had 166 applications put on the agenda, so we'll be hearing a lot of organizations.
Any questions for Director Long?
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
Perfect. Okay, so I actually have PackFit stickers with me right now. All the swag came in, so please take one, pass it down. Shirts and hats are in my office. Right now I'm trying to work with the wool shop to get the ASUN logo put on the shirts. We'll figure on the shirts. You guys will see on these logos, but the ASUN logo is kind of small, so we're working to get it on the back. Put them on Hydro Flask, put them on your laptops, put them everywhere. We want to spread the word about the campaign, so please try and share anything that we're going to be posting on social media. Right now, we're set to launch next week, so we'll have content out there, mainly interactive. Kind of the theme is what makes you PackFit is the launch, so trying to engage students in what they think of in terms of health and wellness and what they want to see on campus. Moving into that, we're also going to be tabling in the Vegan Center once it opens, so be sure to stop by and talk to us. If you're interested in getting on the committee, let me know. We are planning to meet this Friday at 9 a.m. In ASUN. I'm going to start looking into getting another room set up for us now that we are in the next in the new semester. And then also, I think Director Charles talked about it, and I hope President Boone did as well, but please come out to the legislative luncheon on Friday. I do not think there's very many ASUN officers that have RSVP'd yet, so please get out there, talk to the legislators, and make sure that your voice is heard, and it's a great networking event for you as well. Besides that, I'm helping out Director Charles with the PAC internship grant program legislation that we're trying to get put through the state legislator right now. So that's it for me. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Moving into agenda item 8A, report check me on academic center.
Well, if we have our first meeting in semester tomorrow, and we're just going to be kind of meeting with the assistant to the director of undergraduate research, so we're going to be taking something there. Yeah.
Are there any questions? All right, moving to the 8B, Chair Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Fenning.
As President Boone mentioned, last Monday, two days ago, we recommended favorably the bill for the integration station on campus.
Moving into agenda item 8C, Chair Committee on Civic Engagement, Senator Green.
Hey guys, my report today is short, I promise. So the coffee house series that went really well yesterday, we got a lot of good feedback. A lot of people actually showed up and engaged in the open night. We got a lot of feedback back on the cards. Some people said like what this meant to them, and some people said acceptance and understanding. The Joe got some feedback on it. They were like, I attended for poetry and was surprised by the wonderful coffee. So there'll be more people will be attending for the coffee. A lot of people wrote a lot of deeper things that I don't think it's okay to share because it was personal. So it was just super cool because we got to see a bunch of different people from across the community come out, and especially people from different backgrounds. There was a lot of people from non-traditional backgrounds that were there. A big shout out to Senator Duvall. I had to leave for class, and she dealt with a lot. Somebody got like super political and went on a rant while I was gone, and then the jail staff and her took care of it. So I appreciate that. Other than that, everything else is we're just working on the other projects for Wolf Factory Unit, and that's it. Any questions?
Have any questions? All right. Moving into agenda 8C or 8D, Chair Committee on Government Operations, Senator Jordan.
No report.
8E, Chair Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Eschenbaum.
So we're having our first meeting tomorrow, and to kind of help some other people. So Director Charles' department has done a lot of research on the legislation that's going through the session starting on the 6th. And tomorrow we're going to be looking at those pieces and starting to kind of form opinions and write opinions for them to help lobby. So that will be starting tomorrow if anyone's interested in attending. That's what we'll be doing for
the All right, are there any questions? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 8F, Chair Committee on University Affairs, Senator Bradley.
So the It's On Us shirts came in, stickers are coming on their way. We're compiling a list of club times so we can start going and talking with them, as well as we brainstormed a list of people to do a video with, the Rain Plot. That's usually one of the most impactful parts of the It's On Us campaign when you research other schools, is their video that they do. And then we're also just going through the legacy binder again and seeing if we can pick up any of those, and then we just had a challenge to most of the people on the committee to get some initiatives and some legislation through by the end of the semester or under our terms.
All right, any questions? Moving into agenda 8G, Chair Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, Senator Blair.
Our first committee meeting was today. We favorably approved two pieces of legislation, one for the Director of Sustainability and another for the Harvey Review. And then next week we'll just be talking about ideas for
LD and
the other programs.
All right, are there any questions? Seeing none, moving to agenda 8H, Speaker Pro Tem,
Hannah Jackson. No report today.
And for myself, we didn't meet this week because we decided the committee time on Wednesday, which didn't give me enough time to make it for the agenda on Monday. And we have to meet again after this, that committee, like in the corner of the room, to go over a time, just one more time. So we won't have a meeting again next week. We're going to have one the week after that, though. Moving into agenda 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements? We'll move to agenda item 15A, motions of fast track. So, Senator Fang, you said your bill got recommended favorably, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then Senator Jackson, will you still have to do yours?
Yeah, fast track.
Okay. So I'm seeking a motion to fast track agenda item 15B. Senator T. Jackson.
I move to fast track Senate Bill 84 and act to place a question on the ballot for the 2016 general election.
Is there a second? Senator Taylor?
Yeah.
All right. Discussion on the fast track? Seeing none, move into a roll call vote on fast tracking it.
Senator Berrigan?
Aye.
Senator Blair?
Aye.
Senator Bond?
Aye.
Senator Bradley?
Aye.
Senator Chu?
Aye.
Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Crooks?
Aye.
Senator Krupe?
Aye.
Senator Duvall?
Aye.
Senator Henderson?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Eschenbaum?
Aye.
Yep, sorry about that. Senator Fang?
Aye.
Senator Green?
Aye.
Senator Henderson?
Aye.
There we go. Senator H. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator T. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator Jacoby?
Aye.
Senator Jordan?
Aye.
Senator Kohler?
Aye.
Senator McAbalook?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Yorkady?
Aye.
And motion carries.
Awesome. All right. So we're actually going to skip Senator Fang's bill and we'll come back to it. And we're going to do Hannah's first since Senator H. Jackson is setting it up right now. So I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda item 17B. Senator Yorkady?
I move to approve Senate Bill 84.
Is there a second? Senator Green? Senator Yorkady?
Why is it 2016?
So.
I'm
Senator T. Jackson.
I'm sorry, that's a mistake on my part. I've been working on this for a while, and 2016, I'm sorry, everyone, but we'll have to amend that, but it is 2017.
Senator T. Jackson, if you want to introduce your bill.
Yeah, with this.
Or H. Jackson. It's honestly good from right there.
Into our constitution.
more questions, I would love to answer them.
Speaker Pro Tem, you can sit down and answer the questions as well. You're good. You can keep that open. We'll deal with it afterwards. Senator Eschenbach?
How would the graduating senior exemption, kind of in a way, or support, I guess, be regulated? Like, who determines that it's okay for that person to not have that many credits?
I'm pretty sure Dr. Beatty would, right?
Actually, it's not a case-by-case basis. It's laid out clear in the actual question of the Constitution that basically, if it's your fall or spring semester, you don't have to take those credits. Technically, to be a part of the association, you have to be enrolled in one credit. Now, surely that's not encouraged, and I would discourage people from taking one credit. However, essentially, so say you could take 12 credits in the fall and 5 credits in the spring, or there's no approval necessary. It's actually the wording in the Constitution allows for a graduating senior in that academic year not to be enrolled in 7 credits. But they do still have to be enrolled.
Senator McAvoy.
So, Senator passes and the election, they all vote yes. Is that an automatically it's going to happen, or would we have to draft another bill saying yes?
No, so the process is right there. So it would pass through us, and then it would go on the ballot. And then if they pass that ballot initiative, it would be posed to the regents, and then the regents would vote on this, and then it would get instituted in our Constitution. Senator McAvoy?
So the regents can still deny us at the end?
Yes, yes. Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I will add, too, that this has gone through legal at the university, so they make sure that the language is consistent and everything. So if that's any.
Yeah. Dr. Beatty.
Yeah, and actually, they used to go to the Board of Regents, but they've just changed the policy. So what would happen is, if you passed it, and then the students passed it, we would then send it through the Vice President's office, Dr. Ellis. It would then go to Mark Johnson's office for signature. Now that legal's already approved it, and you can guarantee legal's run it by President Johnson already. And then actually, now instead of having to go to the Board of Regents, it just goes to the Chancellor of the system of higher education. So we'll go to the Chancellor, and the Chancellor could approve or deny it. And if approved, we would implement it in August.
Senator Jordan.
So I know that we talked about this last session, and it died because we still wanted to, leave room for that those small students, just because they're what, like 12.5% of the population. It's a question of tyranny of the majority, kind of, So, with you reintroducing this, what is your response to that? Like, why do you want to keep going with this?
Speaker Brooklyn Jackson.
Well, I think thinking about the different arguments that went through last session. Serving as a voice for those students. But if you think about all those different reasons that a student would be taking less than 12 credits, maybe they have to work a lot, maybe there's other extenuating circumstances, and in that case, you have to think about, too, like, do you really want them serving in this role, that this takes a lot of time? Is that appropriate, too? So just thinking about those certain instances where a student would be taking less than 12 credits, would that make them qualified to be a senator?
Senator Smith.
I do think you can also go on the other side, where if you get students who are taking 21 credits, they could serve an ASUN. To me, I think that's ridiculous. That's an enormous amount of school, and I personally see that just as bad as the other side. So.
Senator Kirby.
So I will be voting against, and I will make the same points that I made last year. We are not just here to represent the 86%. In this case, for the most part, we would be, in choosing to vote no, one would be acting as a trustee rather than a delegate, as if 86% of the students would be completely fine if this did pass. It wouldn't even affect them. It wouldn't change anything for them. Then it's likely that they will pass it. It's the small minority of the students who can't corral enough people to vote against it that would then be disenfranchised from the association, and I don't think we're here to represent 86% of the student population. We're here to represent 100% of the student population.
Senator Bradley.
Okay, so I do agree with one part of the bill, which is the graduating senior portion. I don't agree with the the 12 credit, moving it up, because I feel like GPA is a lot better way of evaluating if we're a good academic, a good academic, like, person to look up to. Is your GPA is a better way to look at that rather than how many credits you're taking. I do have a question, however, on the first page. So is it by credits at the university or credits in she organizations?
So per the Constitution, it has to be 9 credits at the University of Nevada, but 12 credits in any NSHE institution. So that allows for a little wiggle room if, you know, you're taking TMCC class or whatever it may be.
Dr. B, just a data point clarification. I don't keep using that 86 number. It's not accurate, right? Because there's already students that are taking less than seven credits that are already excluded, and they're part of that 14%. So it's not going to. That's not the group it'll be impacting, right? It'll be impacting students that are taking 8 to 11 credits, which is a much smaller percentage.
Senator Anderson.
I like the idea of this. What bothers me is that we're assigning, like, why people aren't taking a certain amount of credits. Like, we're guessing the reasons that people aren't taking them. Like, people learn in different ways. So it's, like, some people might just take a longer amount of, like, time to get through school than others because they just aren't academically that way. So I like this move because I do think that students should be, like, very focused at the university and be, like, working hard here. But at the same time, it's hard to say whether or not we know why students are only taking 2 classes and whatnot.
Senator Ashwell.
I'm also somewhat fearful of where this question is going. It's going on the ballot for the 2017 general election of ACM. And we know the students that usually turn out for that election. We know the people that are voting. We know kind of the demographic that we're reaching. And I don't think this is the demographic that we're reaching. And we're determining their fate on a vote they're not going to make. So I don't really like that they aren't super involved in the process.
Senator Kirby.
Similar to that point, and just to make some completely not either side points, just things to bring up. In my personal opinion, I think that everyone should be required to take 15 credits to be a part of the association if that is the university's current mission, that we should be doing everything to complete. That only makes sense to align with the university's mission. However, it should be up to any student who is a member of the association have the opportunity to run for an elected office. It is something that is decided by the rest of the members of ASUN who are voting for them. However, because of the demographic that comes out to vote and the fact of its size, I mean, you can consistently say that it's below 40%. I don't think it's ever even been above 30%. So it's hard to say when less than a quarter of the campus is making the decision, given are those people even running? Since I've been here, I don't believe so. However, it's still just putting another provision on someone who, if in some random case, at some random time, wanted to run, it now no longer gives them that option.
Senator Green.
On that point, I kind of feel like it disincentivizes people from, like, wanting to be a leader as well.
I also want to kind of pick on the, since fall of 2012, only one student officer who was not a senior status was enrolled in 7 or less undergraduate credits. I feel like it's kind of the norm for us to take more than 7. I don't think that it needs to go in front of the body to be voted on when we know that students already complain constantly that there's more questions than are necessary on our election ballots. I agree with the senior part. I just don't agree with this other part where it's not necessary to put it on the ballot. Like, people are already doing that in our leadership position. It's already the norm of ASUN. It doesn't need to be written into our constitution, I don't think.
Speaker President Jackson.
I think as it's written to our constitution, it shows that we really value our academics as an institution. So I think it's important practically, and it's also important symbolically. Through the speaker to Senator Henderson, I just wanted to address your point with anything that would have to do with a learning disability or any other reason that a student might be taking less than 12 credits. Anyone that's through the DRC, this is totally exempt from that. So that's another important thing to keep in mind. There's already a bunch of policies that protect them from being affected by this. I think that's all I have right now.
And I do a comment on that. Our constitution isn't to show the mission of the university. However, it's used to show the mission of ASUM as a whole. Senator T. Jackson.
Just to counter the other Senator Jackson's point on the showing our value of importance on academics, shouldn't the GPA requirement that we have for the association also instill that as well? Because having the university standard to graduate being a 2.0 GPA and having the required cumulative GPA for an ASUN officer being 2.75, that's almost a full GPA point higher than the university standard. So I feel like that already does what you're asking for in terms of wanting to excel in academics for an elected officer.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I want to correct myself and say not the institution meaning the University of Nevada, but the institution meaning like the ASUN body. I'm sorry. What?
He touched on the point of the GPA and why we're not at the same level as the university standard of 2.0 degree.
In my response to that, I would just like to go back to the university's current academic initiatives, like 30 to finish and 15 to complete. I think as student leaders, we should really exemplify those current initiatives that the university is trying to push.
But do you have a response to the GPA?
I think that the GPA level is appropriate for what we're doing. I don't think that should be changed.
Senator Crooks and Senator Kirby.
Would there be any kind of exceptions for like summer classes? Like would that count as like fall? Because I know sometimes people choose to do summer classes because there's more availability and stuff.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Yeah, that's why it's 12 and not 15. So it allows people to have a little wiggle room if they want to take a summer class or a winter semester class. That's why it's that.
Are you asking if those summer classes are going to be included in their credit amount in
right,
the semester?
So, like,
so if they were to take one in the summer, does it get added to their credit amount in the fall?
Yeah, so like if you did 6 in the summer and 9 in the fall, would you be able to like show, like print out your transcript and show like how you chose to split up?
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm pretty sure that how that works, but I can check back and get back to you on that.
Please let the record show that Senator Chu entered the room at 5:47 and Senator Jacoby left the room at 6:15. Senator Kirby.
Go ahead.
Senator Vaughn.
In regards to putting this question on the ballot, I have a concern. I have a concern with a constitution change is a very big deal, and we are being presented with a lot of statistics and having a lot of discussion on it because it is a big deal. So our constituents don't have those statistics or like this kind of knowledge on what a big deal it is. So if they vote in affirmation, like wanting this, and then it comes back to Senate and they shut it down, then that's going to cause some conflict from our constituents saying, hey, I thought you guys were supposed to represent what we want. That's my concern with having it on the ballot.
Senator Markovic.
My only thing is if we don't pass this through, why is there a 7-credit policy at the beginning with it? If you only need 1 credit, then technically you just go up and that. Why even have the standard if you can't move that at all?
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
To clarify, Dr. Beattie was talking about you need 1 credit to be a part of the association, meaning every undergraduate student is part of ASUN. If you're taking any undergraduate class, you're part of that. The 7-credit thing was implemented when, like I said before, being a university student meant something completely different of what it means now. So there were a lot of commuter students, a lot of people weren't on campus all the time, so 7 credits was more of the norm, or 12 credits is the norm now.
Senator Taylor.
What about in the case of transfer students where sometimes a semester they don't need to take 12 credits to graduate or this is abstract?
Can you repeat your question, sorry?
So what about the cases for transfer students where for their track to graduate only requires them to take 11 credits a semester, but they still want to participate in leadership roles?
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
So would that consider them to be a part of well, you said to graduate, so that would put them under the graduating senior.
I think you're referring to, like, if they have 2 years left and they only need to take 11 at a time. That's what he's referring to. Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I would say that to be an ASUN officer, they would still need to take that 12-credit requirement.
Senator Kirby.
So I remember. Two things. One, a point of clarification, by definition, we are still a commuter campus. Two, point of information, potentially through the speaker to Dr. Beattie. What was, like, the original reason for coming up with seven? If there is,
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
It was years and years ago the Constitution was written. I know when I was here working on my MBA in 2000 to 2003, campus didn't look like it did today. You could hear a pin drop. It was like going to TMCC or WNC. Students came, they went to class, they left. The student union was a two-story, really one-story with a basement kind of building. Student government was super small. So I'm not sure if the average student then, I don't think Shannon was here then.
Well, I was, but I don't remember what the credit was. We didn't care. We really didn't care if you graduated. You know, if you
want
to hang around for 8 or 10 years, we
didn't
care. We care now.
Senator Green?
I'm just like, I feel like this bill kind of proposes more issues than it does solutions, and I just feel like we should be taking that into account when we're talking about the bill.
Senator Henderson, Senator Green.
Kind of going off what Senator Green said, I think that we keep bringing up, like, underrepresented populations that are kind of adding up over time. Like, maybe it is, like, a small population of people that are showing up as taking less credits, but then transfer students and summer classes. I think that it eventually is going to actually represent more students on the campus than we think that are taking less in just different circumstances and whatnot. And I think we also just don't want to shy away those people from running, even if, like, they might be able to make it for some other reason, but that's not clear. If the requirements say they have to, why would they even look into it at all? And then say, like, why would they fight for something that they don't, if they don't know it's, like, can't actually be changed and, like, fought for a little bit more?
And a point of clarification, it's not only for people that are running for a position, it's appointed officers as well. So it's everyone within ASUN that is an officer. Senator Kirby and then Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
A point of information, is there anything currently about graduating seniors, or is that also an addition as a part of this?
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
There is nothing currently about graduating seniors.
Senator Kirby.
And then my only concern with this is, to be kind of frank, especially with elections coming up, if you run at a surplus, it makes sense to limit the amount of people that can do it. But when we're running at a deficit and having open seats, I don't see a reason to be turning students away from running for a position. When we have low numbers of people applying for executive positions, open seats on the Senate, it makes zero sense whatsoever to say, okay, we already don't have enough people, you also can't participate. That doesn't make sense. That makes sense when you have a surplus, not when you're struggling to fill holes.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Withdrawn.
Senator Chu, yeah.
I think that we are a university, first and foremost. Academics should definitely be something that we are striving for, especially when we build a program, 15 to finish. We are currently at less than half of that to be an officer, or like to be an elected official, and I don't think that makes a ton of sense. Also, in regards to the whole like open seats thing, I would rather have quality students, like students who I know are really going for their position, their academics, who are striving, rather than have a bunch of people who are just like, who has there?
So I have two problems with that statement just for the whole body. One, the amount of credits you're taking doesn't determine the quality of a student. Mm-hmm. Second, what was your first point, Senator Chu? Oh, okay, the academic requirements set by the university. So, yes, 15 to finish and 30 to complete are for students that are trying to stay on track within 4 years, but a student like Alex Krupe, who is an engineer and has to take a lot of credits over a long period of time, is on a different schedule for a different reason. he might have to take 7 credits or 8 credits because he has 2 classes that are extremely difficult compared to like a lower level business class to my business majors. Senator Braun. Senator Henderson.
That's kind of the same point I was going off of. I've like the Committee on Academics and me being the chair has really looked into programs like 15 to finish and 30 to complete, and it is really hard to group all the 18,000 students into that. It's definitely even more difficult when you take into account that we do offer winter and summer classes as well that kind of help make students make up for that in other ways. So I don't know, it's hard to say, like, it's hard to assign a learning style and a college student as a certain way, and I think that that's kind of what this bill is going
for. Senator Krupe and then Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
So to bring kind of personal context, I wanted to try to keep it, like, super broad for the constituency, but it is a decent example. So for myself, I was on a 5-year track. However, 2 classes that didn't have multiple options were offered the same time. So in pursuing 2 engineering degrees and doing it in 5 years would have been nice. And now that I'm doing it in 6, the issue comes that in the next 2 semesters I'm likely to have 9 and 6 credits, and this current semester I'm at 12. The issue with that is if I were to take more credits, I'm not going to be spending more money for those credits, because with those 2 engineering degrees, I'm also pursuing 3 minors. So at that point, I'm now paying more for those credits because less likely to receive financial aid. I'm trying to remember the letters that I get every semester. Because there is a credit cap for continuing to receive financial aid. So I'm not necessarily going to go out of my way to add more credits and pay more out of pocket because I can't receive financial aid to be a part of the association, but I think I'm a reasonably contributing member of the association.
And to put into context of further of Senator Krupe's position, when you came out of high school, you were at a good level. You didn't have to catch up in classes, am I correct?
No, I had, I think, 16 transfers.
Yeah. So, like, that instance taken into account. Is there any further comment? Senator Bradley and then Senator Cook.
I personally would like to see it as a separate bill between the Senate, like the graduating senior and the 12 credit requirement, just because I think we're all, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think that the senior one, we understand like where that's coming from. You've heard it in the office of people having to add classes just because they're a graduating senior and they have to hit that, 7 credit mark. I understand where that's coming from. The other one, I just don't agree with, and I don't want to hold people back. And like I said earlier, the GPA requirement really shows if we're going to be academic role models rather than how many credits we take.
Senator Vaughn.
Let's also not forget that this is a bill wanting to put a question on the ballot, and we should really take that into consideration rather than furthering conversation about how we feel about it. We should talk about if we want it on the ballot to begin with, so that we can decide if we do want to split this into something that we can further talk about as a Senate body, because we're not like approving or disapproving the Constitution change right now.
Senator Cook.
I just wanted to point out something about like, the bill itself. Page 2, line 10 is basically the same thing as line 1. It just adds like one more word. And then line 12 is basically the same thing as line 3. Just adds like
So you're referring to line 10 on page 2 and line 12, right?
Yeah. So line 10 is... line 10 just adds three universities, and then line 12 just adds have a higher grade.
Senator Krupe, is this about the lines?
Yeah. Just one thing on that. I wouldn't really start messing with that too much, because if I'm not mistaken, this has already gone through legal. So
my question is to Speaker Pendeff Jackson and Dr. Beatty is, has the bill gone through legal, or just the question that's going to go on the ballot gone through legal?
The wording of the question, and I'm a little tripped up of where we're talking about.
So he's talking about line 10 and line 12 on the second page being the same as line 1 and line 3. And while she finds that, is there any more discussion, Dr. Beatty?
What's gone through legal is
what the Constitution would look like if the question on the ballot passed. That's when you're entering into maybe not so much a legal document as an agreed upon document. So they're not worried about the 15 or 20 whereases that come up. Legal's worried about the so be it, and does that match with the rest of the Constitution? Does it violate any university or system policy? So any changes that happen tonight will have to go back through legal, and then we move from there. Because legal may come back and say, well, they did this, I don't like this wording. The original piece that went through had some wording, and legal didn't feel comfortable with it, so that wording had to be striked. So it potentially could be coming back to the Senate table, right, for rewording, then hopefully back through legal, and then your time frames get pretty tight to do like this ballot. Because you would have to have anything you were going to place on the ballot to Elections Chair McNeese no later than March 1st.
President Boone.
Okay, I swore I would not get involved in this, but I'm struggling. I've been writing it all in my phone, but I really want to thank Senator Bond for what she just said. You are not debating whether this should pass or not. You are debating whether it should go to the students to pass or not. You and every student at this school are here for academics first, plain and simple, and being a student officer is a privilege and not a and should not be a priority over your education. The entire point of a representative democracy is because an entire constituency cannot vote on every single issue that comes up, and that's why you're elected to serve them. Now you have a chance to give a vote to the people and allow them to decide exactly what they want. The big concern that I'm hearing for most people of why they might be against it is because they think that part-time students aren't able to rally the votes against the people that are currently voting in ASU elections. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's when your job as senators comes up to inform the people, let this go to the ballot, let the students decide, and whether you're on the right side or the other side, whatever side you think you believe is right, whether you think this should pass or fail, inform the constituents. You can build an entire campaign on whether you want to vote yes on this or you think people should vote no on it, but it is your job to let the students decide what they want, and that's all I got.
So, that being said, Senator Kirby.
I absolutely agree with everything that President Boone said, and I think, though, that this is also the time where, for select bills such as this one, where we have to decide between delegate and trustee, whereas I do my absolute best to continuously act as a delegate, this one, because of the information that we have and the consideration that we can give to it, would feel more comfortable acting as a trustee for it.
With that being said, there's not going to be any more. If there is any new opinions on the bill that come after President Boone's speech, I'd love to hear them, but I don't think we're just going to talk in a circle. So I think we're going to move into a roll call vote on the bill.
Okay.
Senator Crooks.
Yes, I have a question. regarding on the question on the
The language is the bottom paragraph.
Right. Okay. So, will there be any sort of background information about winter, master, summer classes? Because I just know if I read this, I would have those questions, but I just don't want anyone voting without all the information.
So, larger question for you, Speaker Pendleton and Dr. Beatty, is how much information is going to be provided to constituents when they vote for this? Is it just the question?
Last time it was just the question. There was a discussion on confusion. To be honest, we haven't explored that. I don't think, gentlemen.
Say the last time we did a resolution that the student vote was for the rec center, and funding that, and there was a paragraph of explanation about what this all was, and then there was the question. So there were two parts of that.
So there will be clarification, and I correct me if there could be clarification, but Dr. Mazinski, would a student input be allowed for that paragraph that goes above the question?
I believe ASUN was the one with the group that did it.
Yeah, so we have student input, or we have input on the paragraph that is put above the ballot question. And the one he's referring to is for the new rec center. Are there any more questions about the questions. No new opinions. Senator Blair.
Don't we still need to amend the title to be 2022?
Yeah. Senator Eschenbach.
With approval or denial of this specific bill, it is not putting additional information in it, correct? This would be exactly what goes into
exactly.
The vote.
Okay. Exactly. Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Well, wouldn't there still be allowances to write the paragraph?
Yeah, so this, she's talking about something completely different. Senator Kirby.
To clarify, as it's currently worded, that's all that would go in there. We would still have the option to follow up to add a paragraph. It would be additional. It wouldn't necessarily take legislation to add that paragraph.
Senator Bradley?
Yeah, back to my other point. If we were to vote nay and Speaker Pro Tem Jackson comes back with two separate ones that we can vote on, could she do that?
So the reason why this was fast-tracked tonight was because we have to send this back through legal if we were to make another constitution change, which could take a lengthy amount of time, and we only have until next week,
March 1st,
to have everything put together. So I don't want to make a decision for the body, but I think we should just take a vote on just this bill. So I'm seeking an amendment to change the title.
I move to amend the title of Senate Bill 84 and act to place a question on the ballot for the 2016 general election to read Senate Bill 84 and act to place a question on the ballot for the 2017 general election. By unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Now we'll move into a roll call vote on the bill.
Senator Berrigan.
Aye.
Senator Blair.
Nay.
Senator Bond?
Nay.
Senator Bradley?
Nay.
Senator Chu?
Aye.
Senator Cook?
Nay.
Senator Crooks?
Aye.
Senator Krupe?
Nay.
Senator Duvall?
Nay.
Senator Eschenbach?
Nay.
Senator Fang?
Nay.
Senator Green?
Nay.
Senator Henderson?
Nay.
Senator H. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator T. Jackson?
Nay.
Senator Jordan?
Nay.
Senator Kohler?
Nay.
Senator Makabaluk?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Nay.
Senator Taylor?
Nay.
Senator Yorkey?
Nay.
All right, motion does not carry.
All right. Moving to agenda item 17A, Senate Bill 84, an act to purchase hydration stations for each academic building on campus. President Boone, if you'd like to introduce this bill and make your pitch.
Next up, the hydration station initiative. I've been talking to you guys about it for a little while now. I printed out proposals for everyone. If you didn't get one, this is all I printed out, so please share with the person next to you. But I'm going to run through the proposal with you, so you can, just in case you have any questions at the end, I'd be happy to answer them. But this is what Chief of Staff Atienza and I worked on over winter break. Basically, sustainability has become a huge thing across college campuses. There's a bunch of facts in here, but the big thing for me was in ASUM's strategic plan that we just created, President Fabi outlined that we must develop sustainability programs and projects that reduce the student carbon footprint. That was one of the walls taken directly from the strategic plan. And there's also plenty of talk about the sustainability of our university and the university's master plan as well. But that's pretty much it for the first page. The overall purpose of this project is to install a minimum of one hydration station in every academic building on campus to increase the sustainable practices of the University of Nevada by providing students, faculty, and campus visitors a more sustainable alternative to single-use plastic water bottles. All right. One of the big pieces of research that I found that stuck out to me is a study done by Princeton Review in 2011, where they found out that 63% of students that were applying to college said that the university's commitment to sustainability actually plays a big role in if they go to the university or not, which was huge. A similar study said that students across the board, it was based out of Alabama and Hawaii, but students across the board have high concern for wasteful consumption and pollution. And really, the political climate of the world right now is talking about a lot of eco-friendliness and sustainability, so it really goes along with all of that kind of stuff. And also, Vice President Springmeier and I ran a platform on creating a healthy and sustainable pack So just to go over a few of the initiatives that we've implemented in the last 2 years that deal with sustainability, the ASUN created the SSW committee to focus on issues regarding sustainability, safety, and wellness. On September 10, 2015, ASUN hosted its first ever Green Week, in which ASUN officers distributed 3,000 free usable water bottles. Next year, which was this summer, we distributed another 2,000, which means we've given out 5,000 multi-use water bottles in the last 2 years to our incoming classes, as well as just random students walking by as well. Last year, ASUN implemented the official ban on plastic water bottles at all ASUN events, and in turn invested in the two of the 125-gallon water monsters that create a much more sustainable alternative. Sniff pretty much speaks for itself in terms of improving sustainability on our campus. And earlier this year, I started looking into different means of alternative transportation besides cars on campus, including making things more pedestrian-friendly, skateboard-friendly, bike-friendly, and obviously bike share. The amount of hydration stations on campus right now is alarmingly low. Facilities designates 28 buildings on campus right now to be considered academic, and only 7 of them have a hydration station in it. Some of those have more than one. For example, Manzari has 2 or 3, I believe. As the world continues to grow more eco-friendly, it's time for the university to catch up. We are not up to standard to similar universities in terms of sustainability, and we want to get to that level. And the university has dedicated itself to doing such by getting LEED certification on all future buildings and stuff like that. So it's really a university-wide effort to go more sustainable and environmentally friendly. Partners, the main partner is the Facilities Maintenance Services. Michael Averett, the Senior Director of Facilities Maintenance, has been my main contact through this entire project. I confirmed with him that his staff is able to take on this project. They're willing to do it. He said they've actually been wanting to do it for a while. They just haven't been able to afford them because they obviously aren't cheap, and they do have other priorities as well. The Parents Fund is the other huge partner. They came in with a very generous donation in partnership with Dr. Ellis, who connected us with them, but they are going to pay for half of the entire cost of this project. That means ASUN only has to pay for the other half of it. There are 2 installation types for hydration stations. There's retrofit kits that run for $700 each. These are the ones that just get attached to already existing drink water fountains. It's a lot cheaper. The plumbing's already there. They just have to hook it up differently. The full wall installs is where they actually have to rip out the wall and develop the plumbing and all that. That's why it's significantly more expensive, $1,500 each. It's worth noting there are some buildings on campus, like the Joe and the Knowledge Center, that are not considered academic buildings that have more than one hydration station, but the goal of this project is academic buildings. There's a full list of every academic building that will be getting one, what type of installation, and how much it'll cost. And you can see at the bottom of that page that it'll cost $26,800 for the entire project. Funding for this project. So with that total cost of installations that was sent to me by facilities, we will be installing 21 more hydration stations, so tripling what's currently on campus. The station breakdown is 10 retrofit kits and 11 full wall installs. The 50-50 split puts $13,400 on each entity, ASUN and the Parents Fund. Due to the SAS, as required by the SAS, the ASUN contribution needs to come with a 10% contingency, automatic, just in case the price fluctuates. And due to the fact that the Parents Fund constantly helps out ASUN, I did not ask them to help out with that contingency. I decided that ASUN would cover that fully, and that puts the entire total estimated cost of the project at $28,140. And assuming they don't spend the entire 10% contingency, it'll be less than that. But that's all I've got. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. There's going to be an amendment made by Senator Fang regarding the water filter replacements. It wasn't included in the proposal because I literally got it 3 hours before Budget and Finance the other day, but since ASUN is the requesting party of these hydration stations, we will be responsible for replacing the water filters on them. doing the math, each water filter replacement costs $90, and they need to be replaced about every 6 months, assuming they get full use. When I did the math, it came out to about $3,700 annually that would go towards water replacements, and that would come out of the ASUN general fund, not capital funds, due to the fact that it's not 3 years, it's only 6 months. And I think that's a very reasonable cost for what we're trying to do here. But that $3,700 number is assuming that every single hydration station we put on campus is going to be operating at full use, which will not be the case, obviously. There's some buildings that don't get that much foot traffic, but we do want to make the hydration stations more accessible. The entire point of this is to make them as accessible as possible so students are encouraged to stop bringing plastic water bottles and start using reusable ones. Happy to answer questions.
Let's move into, or I'm seeking a motion to approve. Senator McKinney.
I move to approve Senate Bill 84 and act to purchase hydration stations for ETAC and build on campus.
Is there a second? Senator T. Jackson?
Second.
All right, discussion. Senator Kruppi, you have a question?
Yeah, just one. For the list of academic buildings, I see that the LLC is on it. Do they not already have a FOIA of the LLC?
But this is based on exactly what facilities sent me. So if there already is one, I'm going to work with facilities and tell them if there's already one in the building, we'll cut that out of the cost.
Senator Kruppi?
Yeah, because they just may not consider that the academic part, because that's the residence hall part, and then there's like a little hallway and then the classroom.
Yeah, there's like a door dividing the two of them. That's probably what they consider academic and normal.
I just think that, it's not that it would cut the cost down much, but these are expensive, and if they're going to do a full wall install when there's one 15 feet away in the same building.
Absolutely. I'll confirm that with him. In future years, as this project continues, I would like to see at least, there's already some in most, but I want to see one hydration station in every residence hall as well, so that students aren't purchasing cases of water to take up to their residence halls. But that is for another president.
Senator Keating.
I have several questions. Just to be clear, what's the difference between a hydration station and a water fountain, and why can't students use a water fountain to fill up a water bottle?
So a water fountain does not technically come with any filtration for it. The hydration station is the one that you stick your water bottle under, and it fills it up. You technically can put a water bottle up to a water fountain and do it the old-fashioned way, but this is intended to provide students with filtered water. For example, I was telling Budget and Finance the other day, when water comes through the water fountain, it's as good as water as they can get to come through the water fountain, but there is like a little chlorine taste. These hydration stations make it completely purified water.
Senator Yukidi?
I've underlined some buildings that I personally know of. I have like eight buildings underlined that don't have really good water. Like, it's normally cold or cloudy, and how do these hydration stations ensure that we can get cold and not cloudy water?
So, it refers back to the point that the water best used in those buildings is the best that they can find, but these use a filtration system. Correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be a cooling within the filtration system. Okay. So this is like a whole new way to get water from each building. Senator Henderson, did you have a question? Senator Eschenbaugh?
If this is passed, when will the installation begin of these systems?
I will be processing the IPO immediately tomorrow, and then or as soon as possible, and then Michael Averitt has said that he's trying to get the project started ASAP. He hasn't given me a specific date, but it's going to take them a while to order all of the products. But my goal, I've sent him this proposal as well, and in here my project goal deadline is by the start of 2018 to have every single one installed. That may be unrealistic with his team as the installation begins, and we'll renegotiate that deadline, but I don't have a specific date of when it will start.
Senator Eschenbaugh and Senator Jordan?
And then I was curious, so this money, I might not just understand it, so the money is coming out of ASUN's general fund?
This, the $14,740 is coming from the ASUN capital budget.
And is the capital fund generated from the credit tax from current students?
it's generated from excess revenues from the wool shop.
Okay.
Senator Jordan.
So is our part for everything coming out this year? Even the contingency?
Yes, the $14,000, I'm going to write the IPO for $14,740, and then the parents' fund is going to write their portion of the check and send it to facilities. And then we won't have to, whoever's the next president, so the first time that the filter replacement cost will ever have to be built into the budget is fiscal year 18.
Senator T. Jackson.
Cool. So just in regards to the cost of each individual hydration station, what sort of, do we know like the standard of what each hydration station is going to be? So as in whether it's going to be akin to those in Ansari rather than those akin to the ones in the student union?
There hasn't been any talk of that. There is, hydration station is a brand name. It's called Brita Hydration Station, and that's what we've been going with through facilities. That's what's in the Joe. There's also, in Ansari, the ones they use, they're called LK, and that's the brand name. So the name that I've been getting from facilities is Hydration Station, so that might be their standard.
Okay.
Senator Krupe.
Yeah, and for the retrofit kit, because I think it is from the same company as well, it's also from Brita, is like the little blue thing that's on the second floor of the Joe.
Senator Ashwa.
I guess I'm kind of confused or concerned. So with the capital account and with this coming out of the account right now, almost $15,000, I'm somewhat concerned that the current students are fitting all of that bill, and the obviously we have the tuition increase with the gym's creation. So I was just wondering if there's a way that it can be like cut in half so that current students are only paying for half of it?
This money isn't coming from current students at all. It's actually coming from the Wolf Shop. So all the money that the Wolf Shop makes, this is where that money's coming from. So it's not student funds necessarily in a tax sense. It's student funds through their spending, their choice. Senator Eschenbach.
And if this money was not spent for these installations, where would that money typically be spent?
It would typically just stay there. Each year, the Wolf Shop puts about $200,000 to $250,000 into the capital budget, and that's the money that is used to pay for all the scholarships that ASUN provides and stuff like that. So that money is sitting there for projects that are meant to last more than 3 years. So it's not meant to. This stuff's not meant to come out of our operating budget. This is the exact kind of project the capital budget's meant for.
Senator Krupe, is this a clarification for Senator Eschenbach?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah, and that's also, as President Boone had mentioned, why the filters can't come out of the capital account, because it has to be something that'll, like, a permanent fixture that'll last for more than 3 years. So that the filters are what students would be paying for. This is from the excess revenue.
Yeah. And then just to give you a little stat about how much of an effect each one of these can have, this is taken from a case study done by the Joe Crowley Student Union about their Brita water filters. Right off the internet, each one of these hydration stations, if it's used at maximum use, can reduce as many as 36,000 plastic water bottles each year.
So is there any more discussion on the bill? All right, Senator Finn, you have your amendment?
Yeah. I move to amend by adding the following clause, whereas the associated students will also be responsible for funding the cost of water for water filter replacements in all requested hydration stations on an annual basis from the ACM General Fund, after line 12 on page 13.
Is there a second to his amendment? Senator Green.
A second.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Carries. Or amendment carries. Moving back in discussion on the bill as a whole, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a roll call vote on the bill.
Senator Berrigan?
Aye.
Senator Blair?
Aye.
Senator Bond?
Aye.
Senator Bradley?
Aye.
Senator Chu?
Aye.
Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Crooks?
Aye.
Senator Krupe?
Aye.
Senator Duvall?
Aye.
Senator Eschenbach?
Aye.
Senator Fang?
Aye.
Senator Green?
Aye.
Senator Henderson?
Aye.
Senator H. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator T. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator Jordan?
Aye.
Senator Kohler?
Aye.
Senator McAvoy?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Yorkedy?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Thank you, guys. Moving into agenda item 18A, I'll just give an update. Senator Berrigan is writing legislation on WTF Nevada to get rid of it. And we'll then move into agenda item 19, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator DeVault?
The bulletin board in Amsterdam has been put up. It's in the little breezeway. If you're walking south, it's in the first one before you go up the stairs. And I have some keys, so I have a little power. There's also another set of keys up on the fourth floor in the little administrative office. If you go up there, you can get the keys from them, or I believe just give them the paper and they'll run down.
Senator,
I don't mean to be like overstepping or anything, but is anything happening with Blue Group or the UNLV game that's happening next week?
Dr. Beattie?
So I haven't personally talked to Blue Group in a while, but they did post an agenda that's in upcoming meetings where they're discussing spending $4,000 on Qdoba. There's nothing around programming on that agenda. So I believe that meeting is either tomorrow or the next day. So I would encourage senators to show up to that meeting and ask questions.
Okay, we'll move into agenda 20, public comments. Is there any public comments this time? Senator DeVault.
Can we go quickly back
into
11B?
Yes, moving into agenda item B, 11B, committee changes. Is there any committee changes? Senator Ross.
I move to remove myself from the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator DeVault.
I move to remove myself from the Committee on Airport Operations and add myself to University of Paris.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator Jordan.
I move to remove myself from the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Motion carries. Are there any more committee changes? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 21, adjournment at 6:55.